host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome two guests today. We've got Dean Hollander, co-founder and CEO of Perfect, and Michael Backus, co-founder and chief product officer. Guys, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. So guys, for everybody that's tuning in right now, you know, Perfect is a new type of cannabis flower product whereby they really infuse their flower with live resin. And it's really designed to produce brand new strains and experiences. And very excited to talk to Dean and Michael today. So maybe, you know, Dean, why don't you kick us off? And, you know, you both come from really interesting career paths, but you know, perhaps you could talk to us about, you know, what led you guys to create Perfect.
So yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. I've built and exited a couple companies in the past, but cannabis was brand new to me. So as I was moving into the industry in 2017, really noticed that no brand had significant market share, and kind of kept digging into why that was. And in my view, one of the reasons was it was very hard to know what to buy. It was very confusing to know what to buy. And when I tried a product, it wasn't necessarily the same the next time I went and got it. So really, I spent time trying to figure out how do we make products that do what they say they're do. And that led me down a road of research. And eventually I found Michael's book. And early into his book, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go find this guy. And then it was really became a LinkedIn success story. I reached out to him. We chatted a little bit. Decided to meet and really found that we were in complete sync about what was important in a cannabis product, what was missing in the industry, and where the opportunity lies. And it's been a really successful partnership.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, I think, you know, kind of looking at both of your backgrounds, Dean, obviously you come from, you know, the brand marketing world and really understand how to, you know, drive consumers to purchase. And you know, Michael, you know, you have a very interesting background too. You know, actually founded and ran the first evidence-based medical dispensary in California. And, you know, as Dean was just saying, you're also the author of The Cannabis Pharmacy and also an expert when it comes to the pharmacological effects of cannabis and cannabis compounds. So, you know, I think that's kind of a match made in heaven with the both of you, right? Where you kind of have you both have very specific strengths in building companies. And, you know, I think it's kind of a perfect segue for us to really, you know, talk about the brand that you guys are building and what you guys have out there today. And I was super excited to talk to you guys just because as I was doing research about your products, you know, you're really trying to make, you know, the consumer not only feel more comfortable, but also when it comes to buying cannabis, so much easier. And you guys really do that by, you know, naming your blends very clearly. You know, it's super crisp on, you know, communicating to that customer how they'll feel. So talk to us a little bit about the, you know, one, the formulations, but also the problem that you guys are really trying to solve for cannabis consumers today and the thinking behind your product names. I know that's kind of a very long loaded question, but a lot to unpack there.
I'll start and then Michael can give you the more interesting information as to how we do it. But at the end of the day, so the three blends that we have in the market today are called Happy Camper, Pick Me Up, and Nightcap. And really the best thing about those names is I don't have to say much more for you to understand how they're going to make you feel. And that was the idea, is creating names that evoke a feeling. They don't make a medical claim, and they don't do things that sort of color outside of the lines. They just express how you're going to feel. And I felt that was the journey people were on. They were just trying to figure out how it was going to make them feel because they were trying to feel a certain way. So we came out with three initial blends that we thought were kind of the most common things that people were looking for. We have a number of others that we've developed as well. And then the hard part became actually realizing that. And as I said before, I learned a lot from Michael and continue to about how this plant works and which compounds actually create these effects. So essentially, we named them. We had a goal as to how they would feel. And Michael took that and created these products. And I can tell you, the first time I tried them, I remember where we were. and I tried it, and I was just in shock that he had actually done it. And essentially, there's no strain combination here, nothing like that. He's really designed his own strains, and he's done that by taking different compounds from the plant. So I won't get into his field here, but anyway, the idea was make it easier for people, make it simpler for people, deliver on the brand promise in terms of doing what it says it does, and then how do you do that every single time? How do you keep it consistent? How do you give them the consistent experience became the biggest challenge. And that's really what Michael's been able to overcome in the last couple of years and all this R&D we've been doing.
Amazing. Michael, what was the, what made you write a book on cannabis?
Well, when I ran a dispensary, you know, you get asked an enormous amount of questions and you have to train your staff. And the book basically came out of that. The idea was that, well, when I got into cannabis, you couldn't go into a dispensary and ask any kind of question about, like, well, what makes these products do what they do? And, you know, you, well, it's an indica or it's a sativa, and that's about as far as you'd get. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's basically like saying, like, what's in a symphony? And the answer would be musical instruments. Yeah, right. It's just not very actionable information. So I dug deep into cannabis science and all of the research that's been done, a lot of it outside of the United States over the last 50 years, to try to understand how cannabis works and how does it work consistently and what's the difference between products and how do they make you feel one way or another way? How do some products make you feel happy and other products, you know, lock you to the couch? And starting to tease that apart through trial and error led us to our products today, where we take these extracts from the product, from fresh cannabis, and we blend them together in a way so when they're inhaled, you get the trajectory of effect that you're looking for.
Got it. Makes sense. Now, you guys today, as far as, you know, your product is available, you're focused, at least for right now, specifically in the California market, correct?
Unfortunately, yes.
Any plans to expand, you know, anytime soon outside of California?
Absolutely. So as many people know, if you're listening to this, the California market is quite saturated. So we're using that. We're in a number of stores and we're kind of essentially using it as a research opportunity to understand what moves the product more and what drives repeat purchases. And we're obsessed about what drives repeat purchases. So we've been using the California market to really continue to improve the product, improve the packaging, get the price right. And we're talking to people in two, maybe I guess three now, different states who have found us and been interested in bringing the product to another state. So we're now just in the process of figuring out the technical part of that. How do we get it from here to there and have it be consistent and the same every time and in multiple cities and in multiple states? And I think we've figured out how to do that, but we're just in the midst of shipping stuff to Michigan, which will be the first new state that we launch in.
Awesome. Now, from a, I'd say from a delivery and dispensary strategy, would love to talk to you guys a little bit about that. So, you know, in California, at least you guys can, you know, you have delivery in LA and San Francisco. So talk to us a little bit about that, and also talk to us about the dispensary distribution strategy that you guys are currently tackling.
Yeah, so we launched really right as COVID hit. So that, you know, changed the landscape in terms of stores are open or not open and all that had to happen. Mm-hmm. And the store we've been in the longest is in Los Angeles, and they were closed for all of COVID essentially, but they provided pickups. So people could order online and pick it up at the store. But we didn't think that was a particularly, you know, great situation for us because we didn't have bud tenders to talk to consumers. Ironically, what we found is that ended up being our best performing store. And we found that when people self-select products online, they may choose differently than if they're guided towards products, you know, by a bud tender and a retail experience. So the irony was we were successful with that store, even though they were just online and people were just picking it up. We then focused on getting into delivery companies, thinking that e-commerce was really going to be a stronger channel for us than traditional retail, just because the names popped, the packaging popped. It's an interesting story. And then we saw people react reasonably well online. But we also, I think, with the delivery companies, fell into a situation where you're seeing this in California, where you're seeing just massive discounts on products. And it's really become like a discount shopping center, these delivery companies. So we then found that if we didn't want to play ball with discounts, it was very hard to kind of get to the top of the list. So the dynamics of delivery have been a little different, and then I think it's just been so promo and discount oriented that that's the game you have to play there. And in the retail environment, we've been, of course, offering, you know, promotions so people can try the product, but also just spending the time trying to really connect with the budtender, get them to understand what this product is, why it's different, and sometimes dealing with a clash of philosophy, because I think a lot of people are very tied to the agricultural roots of the product, the pedigree of the product, you know, the fact that it's grown and it's a very artisanally sourced and sold product. And we've taken a very, very different approach. Everything in the product is 100% natural. It all comes from the plant, so we're not adding anything to it. So we spent a lot of time educating bud tenders to get them to understand it. And what we found is eventually we find like one or two become huge fans, and then they start spreading that to other, you know, bud tenders or to consumers. And then eventually the stores start to ramp up and we start to see those repurchase rates. But so we found an education challenge in the retail environment, a pricing challenge, I'd say, on the delivery side. But all of that is to say that all those challenges are good because they have taught us an enormous amount and led us to come up with solutions and strategies that enable us to do well in those channels. But I don't know if that answers your question, but that's basically been our experience in retail and delivery.
Totally. I did notice that you guys were number one rated brand on Proper, which is amazing. And, I think beyond the actual quality of the product, like, what do you think it is that's also the key to your success?
Proper is a blind test. So the only reason we're number one on that is because people tried it and they filled out 60 data points and they answered questions. They didn't know the brand. They didn't see the packaging. They didn't know the name. So that's actually a great test of the product itself.
Without a doubt.
And I think one of the big things is that because we're not trying to be subtle in the effect we're trying to convey with each of our products. So Happy Camper, Happy Camper has to deliver a quick, distinct mood elevation and relaxation at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's a really interesting problem from a formulation standpoint of finding the right strains to combine, extract and combine, to get that feeling. And truthfully, it really it made me kind of revisit a lot of my deeply held beliefs on what was doing what in the plant. And so I think spending a year formulating these things and, you know, making one version and making another version, creeping towards being able to deliver this consistently, it was a huge challenge. And but we really did learn a lot because it allowed us to kind of tease apart the characteristics of each strain that we like and then combine them into our products. And that's been a blast, actually. It's really fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, as we were saying before, one of the biggest challenges with a lot of folks, today and, actually buying cannabis is they're often, they're overwhelmed by the number of choices, right? So I think, coming down to how you guys actually have the naming convention for your products, I think is going to help people, dramatically in trying to figure out, the appropriate effects of something that, if they want to go to sleep or they want a little bit of a pick-me-up, that they know exactly what they're getting into, which I think is really great.
Yeah, when I ran a dispensary, the worst thing that could happen is if somebody fell in love with a specific strain from a specific batch because they spent the rest of their life chasing it.
Right. Right, because it'll never be the same, right? Because the plant obviously changes based on growing conditions and how much THC it produces, right?
Right. And so, you know, like with coffee or with Scotch whiskey, with some wines, the way around that is to blend. And while in those products, you're just blending for flavor and aroma, we're blending for effect, flavor, and aroma. And that's what makes us a little different, and what makes what we're doing a little different as well.
Totally. Now, you guys have been working together now for what, 2 years?
Two and a half years, yeah.
Yep. 2.5 years. What's the best thing about working together that you guys have found?
Laughing about our mistakes.
Well, you know, we've all had a lot of different types of working relationships, and I'm sure everyone's had a plethora of experiences. And I think the most unique thing about this particular experience is, and honestly, and despite challenges, you know, with the market and COVID, like I said, and all these things, I don't think we've had one disagreement. We haven't had one moment where we were at odds about anything. So it's
no, because we listen to each other pretty well, and I think that that's really the key. Is that you know, Dean's criticisms, I just hear them. I don't really like get defensive about it. And when I do get defensive about it, I stop being defensive about it.
Or that it's because you guys are both you unhappy camper.
That did have a lot to do with it. No, it was. It's really just been a. And I think we're both. You know, we've had careers doing other things. We've been in a lot of different experiences. So I think we also come to it with some maturity. It's not our first rodeo, as they say. And I think we know at the end of the day, how people work together, how well they work together, how much, frankly, and I really genuinely mean this, how much they respect each other, respect one another's opinion, is what keeps them working well together. And that's what's going to enable you to realize success. And as soon as that starts to go awry, you know, your odds of success, I think, start to diminish exponentially.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt from my days in the movie business that says, I work for Jim Cameron. You can't scare me. And that's the way. I mean, I think both Dean and I's experience in the entertainment industry, where you have to be able to deal with a lot of different personality types, makes us have a little bit more equanimity.
Perfect. So, guys, you know, if you've listened to the show before, you know, we always talk about work in the beginning, and then we kind of, you know, get to know you both a little better at the end of the show, and we just do some very, very easy quickfire questions. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
All right. Michael, we'll start with you. So let's talk a little bit about food. Do you have any weird food combinations that you really enjoy?
Oh, sure. yeah. I like, wow, I have a lot of them. Let's see. I don't know. Peanut butter and lingonberry sandwiches. It's my Swedish background.
That actually sounds delicious. Dean, what are you currently worried about?
What am I currently worried about? I think just navigating this new world of work and the way that we work and the way that we run businesses and generate revenue and just kind of navigating the change. I think the change has been pretty incredibly disruptive. Yeah. And we have to learn new ways of communicating, working, and all of that. So I don't know if I'm worried about it. I'm fascinated by it at the same time. But I just kind of feel like the floor has moved under our feet, and right. We have to find our equilibrium again.
Yeah, I think that's on everybody's mind these days. Okay, Michael, a little kind of a fun question. You know, what's your best cure for hiccups?
I like using a Claymore mine. You know, one of those explosive devices. Yeah, because that scares me and stops my hiccups every time. The problem is finding the Claymore mine.
Yeah. Okay, good one. Dean, you know, you guys are both, you know, from California. And I know that you guys also, well, maybe Michael more than Dean or Dean more than Michael, but, you know, involved in Hollywood. But what's the most unsettling film you've ever seen?
Unsettling film?
Yeah, like... Could be really scary, or it could just be like, oh shit, that is just wrong.
I don't have a quick answer for that. Unsettling film. I mean, I saw a film recently that wasn't unsettling. It just made me, I was a little embarrassed, like cry and tear up, and it was all in a positive way. So I was unsettled in that way, and I looked at my whole family was in tears. So I was just sort of dumbstruck about how this film was so effective at kind of triggering you emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it was a very regular, ordinary story. So it's not like, I don't really like scary films and horror films, and I really don't like to be surprised that much. So I think it surprised me because I was expecting this. It's called Coda. I think it's on Apple TV, maybe. Children of Deaf Adults is what CODA stands for. And it was, anyway, if you want to sit down and watch a movie and it's unsettling in that you're going to be triggered emotionally, but at the end of it, you in a very rewarding way. So I didn't answer your question, but that's the best experience that I could reference.
That's fine. Well, I would actually add to that, you know, while we're talking about, you know, crying, but have you guys been on a plane and watched a movie that might not have been that sad, but you were crying in the air?
Absolutely. I wrote on a plane to Tokyo with the author Michael Crichton.
Oh my God.
And I had worked on an adaptation of his book Congo, which was made into a movie, and neither of us had seen it because we knew that it hadn't particularly gone well. And honestly, watching this movie on the plane made me cry in how badly they screwed up a good book.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. That's actually pretty funny. Maybe it's just me then. I don't know. Being up in the air all the time, I'm watching movies, and even a funny movie that has a moment of just kind of happiness / sadness, and I've got like tears in my eyes. It's really embarrassing. So I thought maybe, you know, you guys from being connected to Hollywood would have a better answer for why we cry on planes.
You know what, though? I do think it's fascinating that we do both have coincidentally backgrounds in the film industry and in storytelling, but that stories evoke emotions and you can't control it. You just react, whether you're laughing or you're crying, and it's an effect. It makes you feel a certain way. And what we're trying to do here has synergy in that we're not just trying to talk you into something, teach you something, you know, any of that. We're trying to make you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a fascination and a synergy with that. And I'm always fascinated with what provokes that, because we don't choose to cry. We don't choose to laugh. It just happens, you know?
Right. Cool. All right. Well, final question maybe for the both of you. What's the best thing that happened to you today?
Well, talking to you obviously has been the best thing that happened today. Michael, you have a good answer for that?
I think this will definitely be number two. Number one, I've been chasing a copy of a screenplay for 20 years that Lawrence Ziskin, who used to be president of Columbia Pictures, recommended to me. And I found a copy at some obscure movie poster auction and bid on it for a week and got it for the grand price of $1.
Wow.
And started reading it last night. And at first was like, what is this? And it's just gotten better and better and better. So yeah, I'm having this amazing experience reading the screenplay.
That's awesome. Gotta love that.
The only other thing I'd add is I got a note first thing this morning. We're out there raising money, of course, as many are. There's somebody wanted to go forward and invest with the company with a ton of caveats, but that was a good piece of news to wake up to.
All right, fantastic. It's a great way to, you know, start your week also. Guys, well, listen, it was wonderful having you both on the show. And, you know, like I told you guys multiple times, I really love what you're doing with the product, and I love the taxonomy of how you're putting it out there. So I was really excited to have you guys on and hear a little more and share with the world what you guys are up to. So, you know, Dean Hollander, Michael Backus, really great having you both on the show. And of course, really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your busy day.
Thank you so much.
This was my first podcast ever. So thank you very much for taking the chance on us, Jeff.
Awesome.
Definitely enjoyed it. And yeah, it was super cool. So we appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, guys.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.